And we're holding on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph about a quarter of the way down the Amud. The line begins Lo Yachli. We're in the middle of discussing the question of, well, first the Mishnah had told us about the concept of Hezek Shein and Nikar, or actually the Gemara talked about it based on the Mishnah. You have a case where there's a Hezek that's been done, but it's an intangible Hezek. For example, somebody was Mekame, somebody else's Terumah. The Terumah is exactly the same as it was before physically, but Lahalacha, now because it's Tomei, you can't eat it. So we said in the Mishnah, B'shogeg, he has to pay, B'mezid, he doesn't. And we discussed Machloka Samaroyim, why that is so. And then we tried to relate, then the Gemara was trying to relate it to a Machloka Tanoim, where we see that Reb Meir seems to, we see that there's a case, we see that there's a Braisa regarding that point, where the mayor says he's chayav to pay, whether b'shogeg or b'mezid, and Rabbi Yehuda says, like in the Mishnah, he's potter b'shogeg and chayav b'mezid. So first we thought that if the same machlokas, whether hezek shein and nikar, shmei hezek, is it considered a hezek d'oraisa, and just the chachamim are giving, and just there's the question, do the chachamim give him a break when he's a shogeg, or the other way around, that is it not a hezek d'oraisa and the chachamim are penalizing when he doesn't b'mezid? But then we got into the whole question. We said that no, that's not the underlying machloikas. The underlying machloikas, your mayor and Yehuda, is about konsu shogig otu mezid. Do we say when somebody does something b'shogig that the chachamim penalize him as if he had done it b'mezid? Because you, first of all, people can't always tell the difference. And second of all, if we don't, then you might have people might do something b'mezid and claim that it was b'shogig. So we started talking about that and mentioning the point that the mayor and the Yehuda in different cases seem to be saying that we do or we don't penalize the shogeg because it's similar to the mezid. So we're in the middle of that discussion. So toshma, so come, let's bring a proof from a braisa. Now, the background to this braisa is that the Torah tells us that if a zor eats truma b'shogeg, then he has to, well, if he eats truma b'shogeg, yeah, then he has to pay the kohen, but the payment is not the regular kind of payment for a nezik. He has to pay him keren b'choymesh, but he doesn't pay the regular kind of payment that you do for being mazik somebody else's property. Instead, what he has to do is he has to give the kohen chulin, and those chulin, in the proper amount, and those chulin become truma. In to make up for the truma that he ate. So Bryce says ochal truma tumeya. So if a zor ate truma, that was tome. Now truma that was tome, the kohen wouldn't have been able to eat either. We could only use it, as we learned yesterday, for firewood. So the Bryce says meshalim chulin tahorin. He has to pay back with chulin that are tahor. Now why should that be so? That we're going to discuss soon. But the Braisa continues, Shilim Chulin Tmeim Mahu. What happens if instead he pays back with Chulin that's Tomei? Again, keeping in mind that whatever it is that he's paying with is going to become Truma. So if he pays with Chulin Tahorin, which is how he's supposed to do, then it will become Truma Tahora, and good, the Kohen will be able to eat it. But if he paid with Chulin Tmeim, where now when it becomes Truma, it's going to be Truma Tmeia, and again, the Kohen can't eat it. Mahu, what would be the din? So the Braisa says, almost sumchus mishum Reb Meir, b'shogeg tashlum of tashlumin. What happens is, if it was b'shogeg, then his tashlumin is a valid tashlumin. This Gemara also comes up in Yuvamis. Tosfos over there discusses the possibility that maybe shogeg and mezid here means that how he ate the truma to begin with, whether he ate the shogeg or whether he ate the mezid. Many other Rishonim disagree with that because they point out if the zor eats truma the mezid, then you don't have this special din of him paying back with fruit that it's going to become truma anyhow. Then you just have, he's just like a regular mazik. He just has to pay back the value of what he ate, and there's no, he just has to pay back. So then he could even pay with money or with something else. So most of the Mefarshim understand that b'shogeg versus b'mezid over here means, and Rashi says it explicitly, for example, it means that when he paid with the chulin tmeim, he didn't know that they were tamei. He knew they were chulin. He's giving them to the kohen. He didn't realize at the time they were tamei. Anyway, Sumchus is saying tashlum of tashlumin. In that case, then his payment is a valid payment, and that's it. He's potter from doing anything further. B'mezid. But if he did it b'mezid, knowing that this chulin was tame, ain't tashlum of tashlumin, then his payment is not a valid payment, and he would have to pay chulin to hurt him. That's Sumchus in the name of a mayor. The Chachamim say either way, whether the Shogeg or the Mezer, the payment is a valid payment, meaning that now the payer has become Truma. But the Chozer, Mashalim, call him to hurt him, but the Chachamim penalized him. And then in addition, he also has to again pay with Chulin to hurt him. Those Chulin to hurt him, the second batch, is only because of Knas. That doesn't become Truma. So Sumchus is saying, in other words, that if he did it the Mezid, then the original payrus that he gave to the Koyim, the Cholim Tmeim, wouldn't even become Truma. According to the Chacham, they do become Truma regardless, but when he did it the Mezid, then the Chacham penalized him to pay again. So now, when we learned this Braisa in the Beis Medrash, the Gemara is saying, we wonder about it, the Mezid Amai in Tashlum of Tashlum. What do you mean that if he paid the Mezid, what do you mean that if he paid the Mezid with Cholim Tmeim, then why are we saying that ain't tashlum of tashlum and that it's not a valid payment? On the contrary, Talmud Yalla Bracha, there should be a bracha. He deserves a bracha. He did something good. What did he do? He ate produce that belonged to the Koyin, which was Truma Tmeya, where the Koyin can't eat it at all because Truma Tmeya, you're not allowed to eat ever. So he ate that. The kamashalom le midi because he made to masin. What is he doing? He's giving them cholin. If we were to assume that so what are the chachamim saying that we're going to penalize him because he did it b'mezid and we're going to make him pay again? Why? On the contrary, if we say that what he gave the koyin the first time shouldn't become truma, all the better. Then he's giving him it's cholin tmein, but Rashi points out actually he didn't even know necessarily that it's going to become truma. As far as he knew, he's giving the koyin chulin, and he's getting he figures the koyin has to gain from it. Because now the koyin will be able to eat this when he's tamei. Because after all, chulin that's tamei, you're allowed. The koyin may not want to eat it when he's toher, because the drabbanan will become tamei. But if the koyin himself is tamei, then this way he'll have what to eat. So why are we penalizing him? So what does the braisa mean when we're saying that the mezid? Then we're saying, according to Sumchos, according to the mayor, ain't tashlum of tashlumin, and according to the chacham, we're penalizing and making him pay again. So the Omar Rava, so Rava says to explain the Braisa, and once we explain the Braisa properly, then we're going to discuss this question of Shogeg Otu Mezid that we started to bring up before. So Rava says, So Rava says, or others say Kedi. Now Rashi later in the Masechta explains that Kedi is the name of a Chacham. So in other words, some say that Rava said this, and some said that the Chacham named Kedi said it. There's a different explanation, which is brought from the Maharshal, that Kedi means empty. So it means anonymous. So some say that Rava said it. Others say, we don't know who said it. So maybe Rava, maybe somebody else. As far as we know, it's an anonymous explanation. Whatever, the explanation is chasuri mechsera, the braisa is missing words, v'hochi katani, what it means is like this, ochal truma tmeya mishalim kol dehu. If he ate truma tmeya, then he can pay even a small amount, then he doesn't have to pay very much at all, kol dehu means he can pay whatever he wants. He wants to pay with cholim tehurin, or he wants to pay with cholim tmeim, either way, it's fine. Because after all, what he ate was truma tmeya, which the koyin can't eat anyway. So therefore, so it doesn't really matter what he pays back with. Ochal truma tahora. But now here's the part of the braisa that's missing. If he had eaten truma tahora, mishalom cholin tahorin, then he is supposed to pay back with cholin tahorin, because again, then that's going to become truma, and now the koyin will be able to eat it. So it'll make up for what he ate. Now the question becomes, Shilim Chulin Tmein Mavu. So now what happens if he paid back with Chulin that are Tomei? So now, like this, when we first brought the Braisa, we thought we were talking about a case. We thought we were only talking about one case where he ate Truma Tmein. And the question is, what happens if he pays back with Chulin Tmein? And that was what bothering the Gemara. Now we understand the Braisa is telling us two different cases. One where he ate Truma Tmeya, so then fine, he could pay back with Truma Tmeya. Fine, everybody will agree to that. But the question is, if he ate Truma Tahara, what if he goes and pays back with Cholim Tmeyan, where the problem is that now those Cholim Tmeyan are going to become Truma Tmeya, and it's not really very useful for the Kohen. On the other hand, as Rashi pointed out before, you could say, as far as he knew, he might not realize that it actually becomes Truma. As far as he's concerned, okay, it remains Cholim. Good, so now the Kohen can eat it. So now what's the deal? So now, Sum Chosemim, Meshum Remeir, Beshegit Tashlomer Tashlomer, Bemezim, En Tashlomer Tashlomer. So now, Sum Chos is going to say, in the name of Remeir, that if he did it Beshegit, then his Tashlomer is considered a valid Tashlomer. So in other words, Rashi explains what he's actually doing is he's not paying according to the value of the truma. Rashi explains he's supposed to be paying according to the amount of the truma. He ate a pound of truma, b'shogeg, therefore now he's supposed to be paying back a pound, or actually one and a quarter pounds, because he adds a chomesh of fruit. It doesn't matter how much it's worth. So now, even though he's paying with chulin tmein, but since it was b'shoigig, since it is the actual amount, then the Chachamim says the mayor are not going to penalize him further. So that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns differently and says that you do have to understand that he's paying according to the value, but you have to at least fine. We could be talking about, in other words, that he paid enough chulin tmeim, where when you consider the value of it as firewood, once it becomes truma tmeya, then it will equal what he ate. Anyway, but that's b'shogeg. So b'shogeg will accept it. B'mezid ain't tashlom of tashlomen. Whereas Sumchos is going to say in the name of Remeir, if he did it b'mezid, he knew that the fruit he's paying with his tamei, then his tashlomen is not a tashlomen. The chachamim penalize him, and they say you take back your chulin tmei and you pay properly because you're trying to make the kohen lose out. The chachamim echadzeh ve'echadzeh tashlom of tashlomen. The chachamim say either way the tashlomen is a valid tashlomen. B'chozer mashalim chulin tahurin. All they say is that after, so in other words, these payers that he gave, even though they were tame, they do become truma, and now the Kohen can use them only as firewood. The Chachamim penalize him, though, that he has to pay again with chulin tahorin. The Omer of Acha Breder of Ikka, so now Rav Acha Breder of Ikka says, this is how this is relevant to our sugya. Hocha b'konsur shogeg got to mezid ikka b'nayu. The basic argument is we penalize the shogeg because he's easily confused with a mezid, or because he might even falsely claim to be a shogeg when he's really a mezid. So that would be the underlying argument. So in other words, Tosfos explains that based on the Gemara and Yevamos, which also discusses this point, the Gemara originally assumed over there, here the Gemara is being Makatzer in it a little bit, but there in Yevamos, where there's a whole sugya about whether the Chachamim have the ability to override something D'Araisa, so originally the Gemara thought over there that it meant when Remeir says, Ein Tashlum of Tashlumin, when it was B'mezid, then it means we don't even consider what he paid to be a Tashlumin at all. We make him take it back. And the Gemara says there that maybe not necessarily do the Chachamim have the ability to override. The fact is, D'Araisa, you would say it does become Truma. How do the Chachamim have the ability to undo that? And the answer is no. The Meir says, Ein Tashlumin Tashlumin means he has to pay again. So the Chachamim, in other words, are, So the machloikas would be as far as the shogeg. When it's b'mezid, everybody will agree that he has to pay again. The machloikas is only by shogeg, where the mayor would say that he doesn't need to pay again, and the chacham will say he will. So did a mayor suffer like konsu after shogeg after mezid? Chacham rem konsu. So the mayor is going to say that we're not penalizing the shogeg because he may be confused with the mezid. We're going to say if he truly was shogeg, he really didn't know that these payers are tamei. Then fine, we'll accept that, and according to Rashi, we don't even need to worry about the value of it. All we need to make sure is it's the proper amount, a pound and a quarter, like we said before. According to Tosfos, fine, we'll need to make sure at least it's equal to the value of what he ate in terms of using it as firewood, but at least we're not going to make him pay again. Whereas the Chachamim are going to say, even b'shogeg, we're going to make him pay again. So we see that Remeir holds that we don't penalize shogeg ultra mezid. Where earlier in the sugya we were saying that Remeir, at least in some cases, is penalizing shogeg ultra mezid. particularly we said in earlier in the sugya and in Gimel Amud Beis, we said in things did Rabbanan, Rav Meir is penalizing shogeg otur mezid. We said also that Rav Meir would say with certain dinim d'oraisa he also does. He would say generally speaking things d'oraisa you don't need to do that, but with things that are bonon, where you need to strengthen them more, you do. We said an exception is menasech, where a person pours out wine of somebody else's wine in honor of Avodah Zarah and makes it also, where because of the severity of Avodah Zarah, then Rav Meir is being stringent on him. But ordinarily, when it comes to things that are bonon, Rav Meir is not Konis Shogeg Otur Mezid. Now, this whole matter over here, the problem with Truma Tmeya versus Tahora, is only Derabanan, because the Midaraisa, it wouldn't matter. As long as he's paying back with Peiris, then Midaraisa, it wouldn't matter whether he's paying back with Tmeyim or Tahorim. The whole concept that he needs to pay back with Tahorim is Derabanan. And yet we see that Rav Meir is penalizing him. The other way around. Rav Meir is saying over here, we're not penalizing Shogeg Otur Mezid, but after all, we are dealing over here with something d'oraisa, because the whole matter of paying back truma to the Kohen is d'oraisa. When he eats b'shogeg, is d'oraisa. So the Gemara answers, Hochi Hashta. How are you thinking to compare the two cases? In that case, the person is trying to make good on what he did. He is trying to pay back. Do you want us to go and penalize him still further? So the mayor says, yes, ordinarily I'm going to say konsum shogeg otur mezid with things d'oraisa. But so in a case, for example, where the original case that the Gemara brought on Gimel Amud Beis involving hamatameh v'amadameh v'amanasich, where someone is matameh somebody else's truma, or mixes truma with his chulin, or is manasich, so then the mayor is going to penalize the shogeg otur mezid because he did something wrong. And also we had then, we talked about, in a case like that, Rav Meir is going to penalize him with something because we're following the opinion we said before that hezek sheni nikar lo shmei hezek, the whole concept that's considered a hezek is d'rabbanan. So there he's going to penalize him, generally Rav Meir is not going to penalize. So it is, after all, we are talking about a thing d'rabbanan over here. We are talking about a thing d'rabbanan, because again, the matter of paying back peiris is d'oraisa. But the fact that you have to pay back with tahorin rather than tmein is d'rabbanan. And here we're saying, even though Rav Meir generally penalizes in things d'rabbanan, here he doesn't. So the answer is, the Gemara is saying, because there, in the case of hamatameh, hamadameh, etc., he did something wrong. Here, he's at least trying to fix up what he did. He may not even realize that he doesn't even realize that the payers he's giving are tame. So therefore, the mayor doesn't want to penalize him further, because at least he is trying to do the right thing. So in other words, so far we have, the mayor will say, in things d'oraisa, he doesn't penalize shogeg otur mezid, with the exception of Avodah Zarah. In things that are bonan, generally he does, but that he penalizes shogeg otur mezid when the person did something wrong and is not trying to take any steps to fix it up. Here, he's trying to fix it up. Therefore, the mayor doesn't want to penalize him. The chachamim don't take that view, and therefore, they're going to say that we penalize him regardless. So no contradiction from that on how we understood the mayor so far. So the Gemara continues. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A braisa says, dam shen nitma, if the blood of a korban became tamei, when the blood becomes tamei, you're not supposed to sprinkle it on the mizbeach. But the zorkoi, and the koyan went and sprinkled it on the blood anyway, the shogeg hurtza, so if it was the shogeg, then the korban is acceptable b'dieved, in Pesachim and in some other places where the Gemara discusses this point, it brings up the point: Do we mean that the blood was made tamei b'shogeg versus b'mezid, or do we mean that the sprinkling is being done b'shogeg versus b'mezid? So here we're talking about another. So so uh, So here we're talking about, in other words, Tosfos explains that we're talking about that it was b'shogeg, the fact that here we're assuming, according to the opinion in the Gemara over there in Pesachim, that we mean that it doesn't matter how the blood became tamei. Right now, the kohen doesn't realize that the blood is tamei, or he doesn't know that you're not allowed to sprinkle tamei blood on the mizbeach, and he goes and does it. If Tosfos points out, according to the other explanation over there in Pesachim, according to the Pshila, that the Shogeg and Mezid refers to how the blood became Tomei in the first place, then the Gemara doesn't need to bring that in this Sugya over here, because then the fact of the blood becoming Tomei is something Daraisa, and we're saying things Daraisa that maybe doesn't penalize Shogeg or Mezid. So we have to be talking about this that the Chachamim are saying, if the blood is Tomei, don't sprinkle on the Mizbeach, but the Shogeg, he went and did it anyway, so then the Braise is saying, the Shogeg Hurtza, the Mezid Loi Hurtza. So if he did it for Shogeg, then the Korban is still acceptable, and therefore you're allowed to eat the meat. But if he did it for Mezid, then it's not acceptable, then Midirabonim, we penalize it. We say, Rashi says, the penalty is actually the meat of the korban can't be eaten. However, the korban is still kosher, and the owner has fulfilled his obligation to bring a korban. And Rashi also adds, midaraisa, because you have the concept tzitz meratze, you have the tzitz of the kohen gadol, takes care of certain cases of tumah involving korbanos and makes the korban acceptable. So on a daraisa level, they would have been allowed to sprinkle this blood to begin with. Once it became tamei, then even if they were sprinkling it with mezid, it would have been fine. Midarabanan, we say that not. Midarabanan, we penalize the kohenim and don't allow them to eat the meat. So in fact, Tosfos points out, now the Gemara could have easily, both Rashi and Tosfos point out that this is a braisa, actually. Up until now, we were quoting from Mishnayos, and the assumption is, the first one we quoted with Sumchos explicitly said Remeir. The other ones that we're quoting, the other ones the Gemara is going to quote over here are Mishnayos and Sam Mishner Remeir. Here we're quoting a braisa. The Gemara could easily say that this braisa is pointing to another town. But the Gemara wants to try to make, so Rashi says the Gemara wants to make it work even according to the mayor. Tosfos says no, because it's actually the basis of it is a Mishnah, a Sam Mishnah, in Pesachim that talks about a case like that, where you have the Korban Pesach, where the blood was sprinkled, and it turned out that the blood was Tomei, and the Gemara gets into that whole discussion of Shogeg versus Mezid in connection with that, so therefore it is based on a Sam Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara is assuming that it's pointed at mayor. Anyway, the point is, that we see, so whether according to Rashi, the point is we don't have to say it's appointed a mayor, but we would like to, or whether according to Tosfos, we're saying we have strong reason to believe it's appointed a mayor, whatever the case, we see we're not Kohenus Shogeg Gotter Mezid. We don't say if you sprinkle the blood with Shogeg, we should say the Korban is no good, or not the Korban is no good. We should say you're not allowed to eat the meat because that's easily confused with Mezid. We say go ahead and eat the meat. Go ahead. We'll accept the fact that the tzitz was meratze, and therefore we're not going to penalize you d'rabbanan and preventing you from eating the meat. So therefore we see that even in a thing d'rabbanan, Rav Meir is not penalizing. And the answer is, like the Gemara said before, Amalach Rav Meir. Rav Meir can answer you. Hachi hashta. How do you think to compare the two cases? Hosam Gabriel Hapuri Komachabin. The fact is the Koyan is trying to accomplish a kapara. He thought he's doing good over here. The blood of the korban needs to be sprinkled. Anan nekum v'niknasei. Should we go and penalize him for that? Again, not similar to the metamim, dameya, and manasseh, where he did something wrong, b'shogeg, and we don't find him trying to fix it up. Maybe therefore the mayor would penalize him, even b'shogeg, and make him pay. Because if he did it b'mezid, then he would be chayev to pay him midirabah. That's fine. Okay. Fine. So no proof against our understanding of Remeir from that. Again, the same as the previous answer. A lot of times, by the way, when you have something like that in the Gemara, where the Gemara brings several challenges and ends up answering them with the same answer, what it is so why did the Gemara bother bringing it again and again? We just brought before by the case of the Chizor who ate Truma, and the answer he's trying to fix things up. Why would we do the same thing again over here with the Korban? One answer that Mefarshim gives sometimes is these questions were asked in different Bate Medrash. In different Bate Medrash, when they were discussing this whole point about Rav Meir's opinion, when does he penalize Shogeg Otter Mezid and when not, each one brought a different Mishnah or a Braisa, and eventually, and each of them came up with the same answer, and eventually, when Ravina and Ravashi compiled the Gemara, then they put all those questions and all the answers in together. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to prove from a Mishnah, and again, this being a Mishnah, it's a Stam Mishnah, we have a Stam Mishnah at a Meir, generally, and the Mishnah says, I'm an Aser the Shabbos, if a person takes Meiser from his produce on Shabbos, which is an Iser Drabbanon, because it's like he's fixing it up, and also, first of all, it's just like he's fixing it up. I think Rambam mentioned the point also, it's like Mekach or Memko, in a way it's a little bit like buying and selling. Whatever the case, the point is it's also Midrabanan to take Meiser on Shabbos. But if he did, B'shogeg Yoichel, if he did it B'shogeg, then he's able to eat it on Shabbos. B'mezid lo Yoichel, but if he did it B'mezid, then he's not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So we see again that in a Stam Mishnah we have an example of where we don't penalize Shogeg or Mezid. And again, the Gemara gives a similar answer to before. Hochi Hashta, how are you comparing? Hossen Gavrin, Takuni Kamachavin, the person is trying to fix things up. He's trying to do the right thing because he's trying to take Meiser from his produce rather than eating Tevel. Anan Leikum Balikneseh, should we go and penalize him? Again, not similar to the Matame, etc., where he did something wrong and is not trying to fix it up. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to prove from another part of the set, from another Mishnah in that same pen. Tosfos points out actually that the Mishnayos that the Gemara is bringing over here to prove what Rav Meir might hold are actually brought a little bit out of order. But anyway, another Mishnah in that same perek says, Hamat go kelim b'Shabbos, if a person tovels kelim on Shabbos, and that's also drabanan because of the same reason, because it looks like it seems like you're fixing it, kind of, because before the keli wasn't usable, and now it is. There is actually one of the Rishonim, the Reb Ben Malki Tzedek points out that it depends really. There was small kelim where a person could sort of play a trick and like fill up the kelim with water and then tovel the water in order to make the water drinkable, in order to make it that the water becomes tahor. And then by the way, he's toveled the kelim. But with a large kelim, you can't really do that. Anyway, the point is, so again, person tovels kelim on Shabbos, he's over on Isur Drabbanan, but again, b'shogeg yishtamish b'hen, if he did it b'shogeg, he's still allowed to use those kelim on Shabbos, b'mezid lo yishtamish b'hen, if b'mezid, then not. Again, this is a case Drabbanan, and again, we see that a Stam Mishnah, according to the mayor, is saying that we don't penalize shogeg or b'mezid. So you see that in things Drabbanan, he doesn't do that. And again, the Gemara answers, similar answer to before, Hochi Hashta, how are you comparing? Hossam Gavra Vatahuri Monet Kamachavin, the person is trying to do the right thing, he's trying to make his Kalim Tahur, Anan Leikum Balikneseh, should we go penalize him? So, the Gemara stops over there, the point is now, so we've established, the rule according to the mayor is like this. In things that are Daraisa, the mayor does not penalize Shogeg or Mezid. Therefore, for example, we had a case in the Gemara yesterday where a person cooked on Shabbos for Shogeg, and the mayor will allow him to eat it right away, without having to wait till after Shabbos, without having to wait B'chdei Shia also nothing. Only the Mezid, then the mayor is going to say he has to wait till after Shabbos, and he's going to have to wait B'chdei Shia also, whatever. He's the most maker from the three opinions that we learned, yeah. With things that are banan, Rav Meir is going to be machmir and penalize shogeg or tumezid unless the person's shogeg was in the course of trying to do the right thing, for example, pay back for the truma that he ate, or tovel his kalim, or take mice from his produce or whatever, and then Rav Meir is not going to penalize him. On the other hand, where he wasn't trying to do the right thing, for example, he was matame somebody else's produce, or mixed truma into somebody else's cholin or whatever, then Rav Meir the fact that that's considered a hezit is only drabanan, then Rav Meir is going to penalize shogeg or tumezid, and even b'shogeg is going to make him pay differently than what it said in our Mishnah, that b'shogeg is going to be potter. So now let's turn to Rav Yehuda. In the sugya, we mentioned also Rav Yehuda's opinion in connection with this Metamim Dameya Menaseth, where we said the Arm Mishnah goes according to him, where it distinguishes between Shogeg and Mezid. So we said Rav Yehuda, in things that are banan, is not penalizing Shogeg or Mezid. On the contrary, in things that are Raisa, he is. Therefore, in the case of cooking on Shabbos, he said whether the Mezid or the Shogeg, So either way, Rabbi Yehuda is going to make him wait until, even B'Shogeg is going to make him wait until Matzoi Shabbos, and the Mazid, he won't be able to eat it at all. Only other people will be able to eat it. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is more machmer. We see that Rabbi Yehuda is machmer on the Shogeg, but that's because it was an Isur Daraisa, because he cooked. On the other hand, with things, we said, with something involving Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is such a serious thing, most people stay away from it. Therefore, when it comes to Manasseh, Chavon Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, was going to be Nakel and not penalize him for doing B'Shogeg. However, in things that are Bonan, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda is going to penalize him in things that are Bonan, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to penalize him. And therefore, that is why in our Mishnah, when he did it B'Shogeg, we're not going to make him pay. So now that we established that point, the Rami did Rabbi Yehuda, did Rabbi Yehuda b'drabanan. Now we're going to turn to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and we're going to show that Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict himself with something drabanan, where we find a different example where Rabbi Yehuda penalizes Shogeg Gotter Mezid. The Rami did Rabbi Yehuda, did Rabbi Yehuda b'drabanan. We're going to find a case drabanan where Rabbi Yehuda does say Shogeg and Mezid have the same rule. Name, the Tanya, we learn it a Braisa. Now you have like this. A Mishnah in Masechta Orla tells us, first of all, some background. When most Isurim we know are bottle 1 in 60. Certain Isurim you need more. In particular, Orla, you need 1 in 200. If you have one fruit or something of Orla falls into 200, the regular, then you're okay, but any less than that, the whole thing becomes Osir. Now, you also have, the Mishnah in Orla tells us, there are certain kinds of things that are not bottle even in 200 because of their Chashivus. And the Mishnah lists over there 6 or 7 different things that are considered very choshu, very important, and therefore they're not bottle no matter how many they fall into. And the Mishnah gives a list. Among them, the first one on the list is a goize perach, is nuts of perach. Some say that perach is the name, some mafoshim explain that perach is the name of a place, other mafoshim explain that it means nuts, that the shell can be cracked very easily. So sort of like peanuts, although not peanuts themselves, because those are native to America, but some other nut like that where the shells can be cracked very easily, and therefore they're considered to have a special chashivus. So the din is, if you have nuts of that kind, a goize perach, that are orla, and you have one such nut that's uncracked, that's still whole, falls into even 1,000 other nuts, all of them are going to be awesome. However, the Braisa says, naflu v'nispatsu, suppose that a goze perach of orla fell into regular nuts, and then afterwards nispatsu, then they were all cracked or crushed, and so now they don't have the chashivos anymore. Echad shogeg ve'echad mezid lo yalu divrei Meir. So the Meir is saying, whether it was b'shogeg or whether it was b'mezid, we do not allow it to be, meaning not fell in b'shogeg, obviously it fell in to begin with b'shogeg, because we're not going to allow it to fall in deliberately. What we mean is, whether we cracked the nuts, b'shogeg, not realizing that he's not supposed to, or not realizing that there were oil and nuts mixed in there, or whether b'mezid, that he knew that there were, and he's trying to be mevatel them, either way, lo yalu, Reb Meir says, you cannot be mevatel them, and therefore all of them remain also. So fine, Reb Meir, we understand, therefore, is being consistent with what we said about him so far. This concept that these goze perech should not be bottle is drabanan, as the Gemara is going to point out. First of all, the whole concept of chashivus is drabanan, but second of all, the Gemara is going to point out that even the whole concept that you need 200 is also only drabanan. Midaraisa, things are bottle 1 in 2, because achirab lahatas. So the whole concept that you need more than that anyway, and the concept that this is a double choshev and it's not bottle, all of that is drabanan. Orla itself is daraisa, but any issur can be bottle 1 in 2, because the Torah tells us achirab lahatas, and this is an example of that. But the midrabanan, we say there are certain things, and most things need 60, and then some things need more than that, one of them being orla. And also the whole concept of davar chashuv, the whole concept that there are certain things that are so important they can't be bottle, is also drabanan. So the Meir, fine, is being consistent with how we understood him so far. But divir of Meir vir of Yehuda. So the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda says that. Now that's a problem, because we said before Rabbi Yehuda is not penalizing b'shogeg otu mezid with things drabanan. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi vir of Shimon, I mean b'shogeg yalu b'mezid lo yalu. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon are saying b'shogeg, if it was b'shogeg that he crushed the nuts, then we can be mevatel it. If it was b'mezid that he meant to be mevatel the issur, then not. Now b'ha'hocha de midaraisa had the tre bottle. Now midaraisa one thing is bottled in two. The whole concept that you need of, that you need a larger amount to be mevato is only drabanan. Drabanan who did gozer. The chachamim are the ones who made the gzera that by orla you need more. And also that there are certain, that there are certain choshim of things that are not bottled at all. The kakon is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is still penalizing even the shergin. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda is saying even with things that are drabanan we penalize him. And the answer is, Hossam, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda penalizes him, Hainu time is Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda penalizes him, Mishum to Osir Le'il Rumi, because otherwise he may play a trick. He may go and crush them deliberately and claim that he did it only for Shergig, and therefore, he'll claim that it was b'shogeg in order to be mevatel it. So therefore we want to penalize him in that case and make him and say that it won't be bottled. Now in the case of our Mishnah, sure he could do it b'mezid and then say that he was doing it, that he was doing it only b'shogeg. But we said in the Gemara, we learned in the Gemara yesterday that if he does it b'mezid, very likely he's doing it in order to annoy the other guy. So he's going to want to go and tell him. He's not going to go and claim that I did it b'shogeg. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily have a reason to penalize him in that case. Okay. So now, by the way, the Gemara points out, v'romi d'Rabbi Yosi ad Rabbi Yosi. Now, having just brought this opinion of Rabbi Yosi, who says that in the case of the nuts, if he quacked them b'shogeg, then they'll be bottle. Now, on the other hand, we have a contradiction with another statement of Rabbi Yosi. The Tanan, because we have a Mishnah in Orla, if you have a young tree of Orla or of Kelaya Kerem that were mixed up with other young trees, to be exact, actually, the Rambam points out, when it comes to Kelaya Kerem, it's not really relevant to trees. Kelaya Kerem is when a person plants, well, it's grapevine, but the other thing that makes, that creates the problem is either vegetables or grain. There's no issue of planting a tree near or even in a vineyard of a different species. So therefore, when we say Natiya over here, we're talking about Orla, and we're talking about Kalaya Kerem, instead of Natiya, we would have to read Aruga. We would have to talk about a garden plot. Whatever the case, the point is you have some things growing that are Orla or that are Kalaya Kerem, others that are not, and they're all mixed up. So you lost track which is which. Hareza lo yulakit, so the Braisa says you should not go and pick the fruit from the trees, because again, as long as it's attached to the ground, it's choshuv and it can't be bottled. When you pick it, then it loses its chashivus, and then you're making it possible to be mevatelet. We have a concept called ein mevat. This also applies to the nuts. Ein mevatlin isur lahatchila. You cannot lahatchila go and do something to be mevatel something that's also. So you have that, for example, in other areas. Let's say, for example, you have a drop of milk fell into a pot of meat, and you don't have 60 times as much. You're not allowed to go and deliberately add more meat to have 60 times so it'll be mevato the milk, and other examples like that. Same way with the nuts before, where you can't crush them, you can't go and deliberately and crush them, but you also have, for example, you can't, let's say, go and add more nuts to the pile so you have enough to be mevato. So here, in the same vein, then, we're saying that by picking the fruit, you're taking away its chashivus and making it possible for it to be bottled, and you can't do that. The imlikit, what happens if he did pick them without realizing? Or let's say, for example, Rashi explains, maybe he thinks that they were already bottled while they're still attached to the ground. He didn't realize this concept that while they're still attached to the ground, they're kosher. It's a subtle point. I mean, if you've learned these dinim, you know it. If you don't know it, if you haven't learned them, you wouldn't necessarily realize that point. You would think, listen, you know, I have 300 trees in my garden. One of them is Orla. I forgot which one it is, but I know that Orla is bottle 1 in 200. So as far as I know, it's bottle. He doesn't realize that while it's growing in the ground, it has a shivus and it's not bottle. So now, therefore, so if he picks the fruit, not realizing that point, then good, the fruit can be bottle 1 in 200. And by the 200, by the way, applies to both Orla and Kalaya Kerem. Both of those, you need 200 to be bottle. However, as long as he didn't mean to pick it in order to be mevato, because then it won't be bottled. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosi says, even if he didn't mean to pick it in order to be mevato, yalu ba'achad amasayim, then it can still be bottled 1 in 200. So in other words, he's saying that even if you were mevato iser lahatchila and you did it b'mezid, then it works. Now, didn't we say in the Braisa before that Rabbi Yosef, with the nuts that fell into the, with the nuts of Orla that fell into the other pile of nuts. And Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon said, B'shogeg yalu, b'mezid lo yalu. So there he's saying that if you did it b'mezid, that you cracked the nuts, then you can't, then tough luck, it's still osir. Here, all of a sudden, Rabbi Yosef is saying that even if you deliberately picked the fruit, intending to be mevatel it, then it works and it's bottled. So what does Rabbi Yosef hold? The answer is, ha itzman Allah. Because you should know, there was said about that, there was explained about that. Omar Rava, chazaka, ein adam oser es kind of b'netiyah achas. We have a chazaka, a person is not going to want to make his entire vineyard or his entire orchard oser because of one plant. So in other words, usually a person is not going to plant one tree of orla among a bunch of others and not mark it to know which one is the orla so that he doesn't have this problem and he doesn't make all those other trees oser. Or the same thing with Kalaya Keren. If a person has, for example, one plot that previously became Osir as Kalaya Keren, he's going to mark it somehow so he doesn't just lose it among the other ones. So it's an unusual thing. And in general, the Chachamim don't generally make Xeris on unusual situations. But when it comes to nuts falling into other nuts or other things like that, that's a more common thing. And therefore, Rabbi Yosi is going to be more strict about that. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing when he came from Eretz Yisrael. He said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the same answer as Rabbi. Chazaka in onam oser es kamim b'netiyah achas, and therefore it's an unusual case, and therefore the Chachamim are not going to make a zera to cover such an unusual case, and therefore Rabbi Yosi is going to say that even if he did it b'mezid, then the Chachamim are not going to penalize him because it's so unusual in the first place that a person should lose track of his one plant of orla among all the others. Okay. No, if an enemy went, I mean, you know, so an enemy is not Sam walking into your field and planting a tree.
No, he had to get a
push. Oh, may, I suppose. But okay in general, though.
Plus, that the main cycle makes trouble in the field.
It could happen, I suppose. But whatever, the farmer will have, the orchard owner will have some kind of simon for himself, not necessarily something that's, whatever, he can always paint something on the tree. You can always, I did get the chanetzin, you know, it's not necessarily something that his enemy is going to get in there so easily and remove. But whatever, even if it is, it's a rare, it's a rare enough situation again. Okay. Mishnah continues. More on this topic of Hezek Shein and Niger. If a Kohen, when he's bringing somebody's korban in the Beis Mikdash, if he makes it pigul, and pigul is where he has in mind doing any of the four basic avodas of the korban. An animal korban has four basic avodas. The shechita, the kabbalah sadam, the receiving the blood in the basin, the holocha, walking the blood over to the mizbeach, and the sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. A mincha similarly has four basic avodas. A bird korban has two, whatever. The Gemara in Zvachim talks about it in great detail. But the point is, if doing any one of those four avodas, Kohen has in mind that he's going to eat the meat of the korban beyond the time that Jehudah says he could. So for example, a shlomim, he has in mind that he's going to eat it on the third day, or chatos on the second day, or that he's going to sprinkle the blood outside that time, or burn the emurim or whatever, then it becomes pigul. So the korban right away becomes posel, and anybody who eats from it is chayiv karis. So now, there's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether it's enough that he thinks it or whether he actually has to verbalize it. Whatever the case, if he did that to somebody's korban, then there's chayiv, mezidin chayovin, if he did it b'mezid, then he has to pay the kohen back, then he has to pay the owner for the korban that he wound. Tosfos earlier explains, now we said according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to things Daraisa, he is Kohenes Shogeg Otomezin. In the previous Mishnah, because the whole concept of Hezek Shein and Niker is Drabanan, and we said all the things that he did over there, Metame and Medamea and whatever, are only also Drabanan, then therefore Rabbi Yehuda is not penalizing him, but over here, making the Kohen Pigel was actually an Issur Daraisa. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, lo yechoshev, from which we learn that he's not allowed to think such a thought. But Tosfos explains earlier that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want to penalize him when he's shogeg, even though it's a thing d'oraisa, because the Chum don't want to discourage the Kohenim from doing the avodah. Like this, if they're always going to be on the hook, even when they do it for shogeg, then you could have, let's say the Kohen thought that the, let's say the Kohen didn't thought that this korban is actually a shlomim, and that it can be eaten 3 days from now. Two days from now, whatever. And meanwhile, really it was a chatos or an olo or whatever. And therefore it can only be eaten today. Anyway, the point is, So, but if you did it b'mezid, then we make him pay. Rashi pointed out earlier, if it was a korban that the owner was required to bring in the first place, then the kohen owes him because now he has to bring another korban. If it was a nedava, where he's not strictly required to bring another korban, nevertheless, the person wanted to bring a present to Hashem as a voluntary korban, and now he was denied that, so therefore the kohen has to pay him back for that. So the Gemara talks about, in this connection, b'chlal, what kind of nemonus does a person have to say that something is not kosher or whatever? So Tana Rabbanan, Hoya Oseim of the Taharis. Suppose that one person is working with somebody else on Taharis. So they're preparing food of Truma, for example, which has to remain Tahar. But Omaloi, and then, so you have produce of Truma, for example, and you hired a worker to help you process it. But Omaloi, and the worker says, Taharis shal sisi imcha nitmu, the Taharis that I was working with you on became Tomei, or similarly, hoya usim bizvachim, suppose the Koyan was bringing a korban on behalf of Yisrael, but Omaloi, and he says, zvachim shal sisi imcha nispaglu, the korban that I brought on your behalf was pigul, I had in mind the thought of pigul, Neman, then we believe him, and therefore the owner has to consider the Taharis Tomei and the korban possible. Aval Omaloi, but if he tells him after the fact, if he says, you know, last week you had me working for you, you should know the Taharis at that point became Tomei. Or he says, you know, a couple of days ago, or this korban that you brought a few days ago, you should know it was pigul, ain't a neman. Then at that point, we don't believe. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Sefer? So what's the actual difference? Why in one case do we believe him and one not? No, so the answer is Amar Abaye, Kol should be Yodai Nem. Because whenever it's Biyodai, whenever it's something where he's capable of doing it now, then he's capable of making it also now, Nem on then we believe him. Meaning, in other words, in the case of the Taharis, for example, he's saying right when they're still working with him. He says Nitmu, he has the capability of making it Tomei right now. The Kohen has the capability of making the Kohen Pigle right now. So therefore we believe him. Tosfos has a bit of a discussion about this based on other Gemaras. Now here we're talking about, for example, that the other guy says, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Or he says, I don't know, maybe you're right, maybe not. But there's a Gemara in Kiddushin that's relevant to this. We're there. If he's quiet about it, then we say that he would be Naaman even after the fact, even though it's not Biyada anymore because Shsika Poyda. So when we say over here that after the fact, if it was a couple of days later or whatever, ain't a Naaman, that would only be if he's contradicting him or he's saying maybe, maybe not, I really don't know. But if he's quiet, when the guy said to your Taharis became Tomei or whatever a few days ago, if he's quiet, then Tosfos says we would actually have to believe him. We're talking about both. We're talking about in the first case of Taharis, we're talking about a worker that you hired. So let's say, imagine, for example, you have a batch of dough of Truma. So you need it to stay tougher. So you hired somebody to shape it into loaves for you. And now the guy comes and tells you that it became tummy. So he's telling you at the time, or he's telling you later on. Or you brought a korban and the koyan shechted it for you, and later on, and now, or later on, and the case may be, he comes and tells you that it became pigul. So we're saying that if it was on the spot, Naaman, and if not, then ain't a Naaman. Again, when Tosfos says, when we say ain't a Naaman, we mean where you're contradicting him or where you're saying, I don't actually know whether what you're saying is true. But if you're quiet, then shesika koida, and then it would be even after the fact. The reason why it is that when it's biyodai we believe him, there's a discussion among Rishonim and Achronim what the reason behind it is. The Shach brings a reason that it's because of a migur. Because he could be Matameh right now, so therefore we can believe him when he said that it already became Tomei.
That's the thing.
What?
And that now he can have faith.
If he did it b'mezid, yeah. The point is he has the capability of doing it. It's something that he's able to do right now. On the other No, the point is, in other words, the migri will tell us because of that. We have to believe him that when he's saying that it became Tomei, that he's telling the truth. Now, on the other hand, different Rishonim and Achronim disagree with that. The Rosh brings a reason, rather, that the reason is essentially because since it's Biyodeh, then he's considered to a certain extent the owner of it. And the owner of it, obviously, is believed whether something is Tomei or Tahor. Anyway, this b'chlal gets into the whole matter of aid echad neman v'isurin. What are the circumstances when we say that we believe one aid about an isur? We had something briefly about it at the beginning of the, all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, when you have a maybe get m'dinas ayam, and he's saying b'fana nechta, we're relying on one aid. The Rosh actually lists in that connection, he lists like 14 different criteria that you can have when aid echad neman v'isurin, and among them are various case, and among them is b'yaday and various similar cases. Anyway. The point is, so Abaye is saying the point is because biyodai. Rava Omar, Rava says it has nothing to do with biyodai or not. You're going to ask the chevelai Omar levelai midi. The case would be where afterwards, the first time you met up with the worker, he didn't say afterwards, he didn't just say anything. Or the boss ahochi ask the chevelai Omar levelai, and only the next time. So let's say, so you hired the guy to do the work for you on Sunday. On Monday, you went and asked, on Monday, you saw him, and he didn't tell you anything about becoming Tomei. Then on Tuesday, you met up with him again, and he says, by the way, on Sunday, it became Tomei. Well, if it became Tomei, he should have told you on Monday when you saw him. So therefore, so the Rava says, then that's a reason not to believe. Yeah, but nevertheless, though, Rava is not taking that into consideration. In fact, Rava is taking the view that Adrabah, now the fact that he didn't tell him before, and now he's telling him now, just the opposite. I mean, he's trying to provoke him. He's trying to provoke the guy and get a rise out of it. But it's not really true. Anyway, so the reason why we're bringing this in, of course, is because this is relevant to what we said in the Mishnah about the Kohen and making something piggle. So now we're going to talk about how we know whether in fact they made it piggle such that they should be liable to pay. So the Gemara brings, how huda amalei l'chavre, so there was a case where one person said to the other, taris shasisi imcha b'yen plani nitmo, the taris that I previously did with you, did on your behalf, was on such a day, became tummy. Also, kameh did Rabami, so he came to Rabami to ask, does he need to believe the guy? By the way, Rav Ami lived long after the Churban, but even after the Churban, we find in various Gemaras, first of all, this Truma still has to be kept tover. They didn't have Korbanos at that time, but they still had Truma. But we find, based on various Gemaras, that they still had Parah Adroma ashes for some time, for a couple of hundred years after the Churban, that people carefully guarded, and they were able to use to make themselves tover to be. Some of it was kept in the Bismikdash, so of course that was gone when the Bismikdash was destroyed. But some of it was given to the Mishmaris, it was distributed to the Mishmaris around Eretz Yisrael, so part of it was kept on Har HaZeisim, so people had some of that available, it seems, for a couple hundred years after the Churban, and they were able to use it. Anyway, so now this person is coming to Rav Ami and asking, do I have to believe this guy? Omalei, so Rav Ami tells him, Shura Sadin Einin Neman, you don't have to believe him because he didn't tell you right away. And he said that if it's Lachra Maisa, then you don't have to believe him. Whether because of Abaya's reason about Biyodai or whether about Rava's reason, because he didn't tell you the first time that you met him, then you don't have to worry about it. However, Omar the fun of Rav Asi, but Rav Asi said to Rav Ami, Rebbe, Ata Oima Kain, Rebbe, you're saying that that's how it is. Hachi Omar Rav Yechanan, Mishum Rav Yosi. You should know, Rav Yechanan said in the name of Rav Yosi, Ma Esa Shatara Haminatu. So what can I do? It's true, it's more logical to say that we shouldn't believe him, but Rav Yosi says, what can I do? We find that the Torah believes a person to say that he messed up, even La'achazman. Well, the Gemara says, Heichan Haminatu. Where do we find that the Torah trusts a person to do that? The answer is, Omar Rav Yitzchok, Babisna, Kohen Godo B'yama Kippurim Yechiyah. We can prove it from the case of the Kohen Gadol doing the avoida of Yom Kippur in the Heichon, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you are a pigol meheman, if he were to say about one of the korbanos that he did the avoida of them inside the Heichon, where nobody else is allowed to be there at the time, so then meheman, we would in fact believe him that. So for example, he's sprinkling the blood of the pyre of soy over there. And if he says that it's pigle, then he would be believed. Tosfos actually points out, Rav Yosi himself says in Gemara in Zvachim that things that take place inside the Heichel, he says pigle are not subject to pigle b'chlal. So okay, Tosfos says, fine, it wouldn't be pigle, but it would be possible. It would at least be possible as a result of his wrong machshava. The difference between possible and pigle is pigle, a person is chayav kares for him. Posel is not necessarily chayav kares. He's not chayav kares for, but it does have to be burnt. It has to be burnt. You can't eat it, but a person is not chayav kares for it. Yeah. So we see therefore that the Torah believes him, even though nobody is there to see it. So, because after all, we have to say, now, how would we know if he says that he made it pickle? How would we know? It says nobody's allowed to be in the oil mode when he's doing the avodah in there. So therefore, and yet we're saying pickle applies to those korbanos, same as it applies to any other korbanos. And therefore, so we see that the Torah believes a person, even la'achar ha'maisa, even when he comes out of there and says that I created pickle in there. Marshall points out, by the way, that according to Abaye's explanation about Biyodah over there, this doesn't apply because it's not Biyodah anymore. But according to Rava's explanation, it would work because the fact is, the first time he's coming out, he's saying it, and therefore we're believing. So the Gemara says, Elalam Mishum de Mehemam. So doesn't that mean that we have to believe him? However, the Gemara says that's not really a proof. The Duma de Sham Ine de Pogil, maybe it's that we actually heard him. We heard him saying that I'm shechting it, or I'm doing this avodah or whatever, having in mind such and such. The Gemara says no. He loved him a heman. The fact is, if we wouldn't believe him to say that he made it pickle, Afa gav de Sham Ine nami loy meheman, then really, even if we heard him saying that, we still wouldn't believe him that the korban is actually pigle, the dumala bossa hochikama, because maybe he only did it after he did the avodah. How would we know, for example, that he said those words, that I am sprinkling this blood, having in mind to burn the emurim or whatever it is, the next day? How would we know? Maybe he finished all the sprinkling and then he said that. So the fact that we have to believe him and say the korban is pigle shows that it doesn't really matter. Even if we heard it, it doesn't matter whether we heard him or not. Either way, we're believing him that he did it for shas mice. But the Gemara asks, the Dilma de Chazin of a Pishvash, how do we know? Maybe we actually were able to see the Kohen Gadol through a Pishvash. A Pishvash is a small gate. You have a Masech of Midas, it mentions them in a number of places, that there were some of the gates of the Bismikdash that had small gates built into them. Now the Gemara in Zvachin tells us that there were actually certain small gates built into the Heichal in various places. In particular, the Gemara explains over there, it has to be, the din is that if you shech the Shlomim, now there are certain Karbanos we know can only be shechted on the north side of the Azara. We say every day in Ezra and Mekoyman, Kodshin, Shritasim, Matzofim. But Kodshin, Kalim, Shritasim, the Homokim, Azara. But however, the Gemara points out over there, it has to be, if you're shechting a shlomim anywhere in the Azara, it has to be within view of the door of the Heichal. So the question is, how can you shecht it in the whole Azara? If you shecht it behind the Heichal, for example, then you're not in view of the door. And so the Gemara explains over there that there were pishpashim, there were these various little doors built into the Heichal in various places where you could, so that way it's still considered to be in front of the door of the Heichal. So now the Gemara is saying that maybe people could actually see what the Kohen Gadol is doing looking through one of those pishpashim. So it's a good point, and actually Julian Ashas refers over here to a Tosfos in Zvachim that seems to say that maybe those pishpashim were nowhere near the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in that case, how would that help? But the Gemara apparently over here is assuming that there must have been one in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe they can't see him, but at least, in other words, maybe they can't see everything he's doing, but at least they're able to see enough that they're able to know whether when he said, I'm doing this almanas such and such, whether he's doing it actually the Shas Maisa or whether he's saying it after the fact. So therefore, so the Gemara says, Kasha. So you're right, it's actually a Kasha on Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna. Why did he even bring that proof if it's not... So the question is not so much, the Gitva explained, the question is not really on Rabbi Yossi. The Torah says, Rabbi Yossi is saying, Atorah Haminatu. He didn't say where we see that from. So fine, Rabbi Yossi may have some other proof that Atorah Haminatu. The question is on Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna, who's saying we can prove Rabbi Yossi's point from that case of the Kohen Gadol with the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it's not necessarily such a solid proof. Okay. The Gemara tells another story related to this. Havud also came to Rav Ami, another case where a person came to Rav Ami with a shayla. Omelay, he says, Sefer Torah shekasabdi l'ploini, a Sefer Torah that I wrote for so-and-so, as kores shaboy l'kasabdin l'shman. The names of Hashem that I wrote in that Sefer Torah, I did not write l'shman. So now the question is, do we believe him and say that the Sefer Torah is possible? Omalei, so Rav Ami answers him. So Rav Ami first asks him, Sefer Torah biyadmi, who has the Sefer Torah right now? Omalei biyad lekeach. He says, I already gave it to the buyer. Omalei, so Rav Ami says, in that case, nemen atal hapsin schorcha. In that case, we believe you insofar as you forfeit your salary. Because you're saying it's possible, so therefore it's like Hadas Baldin Kamei Edim. I mean, the Iyata Nemen Lahafs and Sefer Torah, but you're not believed insofar as possible in the Sefer Torah. So again, we're talking about over here that In other words, that Ramban explains, he's saying he gave it to the Lokeach. That means he already saw him once. If he really did write the Laskaris for Lev Shmoy, then like Rava is saying, he should have told him then. The fact that he's saying it only now means he's just trying to get a rise out of the guy. So therefore, Ramban says, fine, you forfeit your salary, the guy doesn't have to pay you, but you can't possibly save Sefer Torah because of that. Omele Rav Yirmiyah, but Rav Yirmiyah says to Rav Ami, why should he forfeit his whole salary? Nehi dehifsid scharas koris. Okay, he should forfeit the salary for the time it took to write the names of Hashem, because he didn't write them Lashman. But schar the Sefer Torah pulled him dehifsid. Why should he lose the entire salary for writing the Sefer Torah? The rest of the in other words, because Rav Yirmiyah holds, and we learned this earlier on Daf Chof, that maybe what you can do is Mavir Olav Kumus and Makadshay, you could rewrite over the names of Hashem and do it, L'shem Kedushas Hashem, and that would work in the Sefer Torah as Kosher afterwards. So why should he lose his whole salary? Amalei Rav Ami says, Ein, yes, as a matter of fact, he does lose everything. Shekol Sefer Torah, 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 Shekol If a Sefer Torah, if they have Skoris in it, are not written, the Shem Kedusha son, if the names of Hashem in it are not written in the Shemon, then the whole Sefer Torah is possible. So the one asks why? Why indeed not? Why not rewrite over the names and be Makadosh them? Kiman, name of Deloitte of Yehuda. Does that mean, since Rav Ami does not accept that as a possibility, does that mean that Rav Ami is holding not like Rav Yehuda? Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah, Haresha Yitzarech Lich, it's actually Ditania, it's really a Braisa, Haresha Yitzarech Lich Tev as Hashem. Suppose a Sefer is at a point in a Sefer Torah where he has to write Hashem's name. But Niskadim Lich Tev Yehuda, but he mistakenly thought he has to write the word Yehuda. He left out Dav. So the result is he wrote the name Yurke Vavke, we had this before, on Daf Chof, but without the intention to write it as Hashem's name. What can he do about it? Mavra Olav Kumas Makadshay, give it to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he can rewrite over it, having in mind Hashem, Kedusha Hashem, but Ein Hashem Min Amuvchar, the Chum say that's not the proper way to write Hashem's name, and therefore they say that won't work. Before we brought that on Daf Chof, we had a discussion over there, Kasav or Gabi Kasav, if you have writing of a get that was done Shalom Lishma, can it be rewritten over the Shema? And we mentioned this Macholikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in that connection. So here the point is that Rabbi Ami seems to be saying only according to the Chachamim. It sounds like Rabbi Ami's point would not work according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, the Gemara says no. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda, you could even say Rabbi Ami agrees, is saying according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ad Kan Le Ka'omer Rabbi Yehuda, Ela B'choda Azkar. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about, you have one name of Hashem that came out that way, so you rewrite it, it's not so bad. Avil to call this Sefer Torah Lord. Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that if the entire Sefer Torah, the names were not written Lashma, then not. Mishum de Mechzi Kimin Numer, because then the Sefer Torah is going to look like it's spotted. You have some parts are written once, some parts are written over, some look newer, some look older, or whatever. It's not going to look nice, and a Sefer Torah has to look nice. Zekei Levan Vey. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in a case like Rabbi Ami's, where the Sefer is saying that all the Azkaris, hundreds of times throughout the Sefer Torah, where it's not the Shema, then Rabbi Yehuda is also going to agree that it's possible, and there's no way of fixing it up. So therefore, the guy forfeits his salary, because he's saying that he wrote a possible Sefer Torah. However, we don't actually possible it, because we don't necessarily believe it. So now, the Gemara gives, on the other hand, another case, a related case. Ahuda also the Kamei Rabbi Bohu. There was a person who came, a sefer, came to Rabbi Bohu. Omalei says Sefer Torah Shekasafi Laplani Gvilin Shaloi Leibadim Mishman. The parchment that I wrote the Sefer Torah on, I had not tanned it. I had not prepared it as parchment. L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah, which you have to do. It has to be done. L'shem Yeah. Omalei, so Rabbi Bohu again asks in Sefer Torah Biadmi, who has the Sefer Torah right now? Omalei Biad Lekeach. So he says again, I gave it to Lekeach. Omalei, Rabbi Bohu tells him differently than Rabbi Ami did. He tells him, Mitoich Sha'atim Nem and Lahapsit Tzchorcha, since you're believed to forfeit your salary, Nem Atim Nem and Lahapsit Sefer Torah, then you are believed as far as possible in the Sefer Torah. Well, the Gemara asks, "My Shnama did Rabbi Ami? Well, why is it different than Rabbi Ami's case?" And the answer is, Hosim Iklamem Atoli the Dirabim. Because in the case, in Rav Ami's case, you could say the Sofer mistakenly thinks, like Rav Yirmiyah, he thinks the Sefer Torah is actually kosher, and I just want to get the guy angry at me, and I just want to provoke the guy, But not really. He's thinking, all I'm going to lose out, like Rabbi Yirmiyah argued, is the amount of time it took me to write the names of Hashem. So fine, if it took me, if it took me a 1,000 hours to write the Sefer Torah, and out of that, 2 hours was spent writing Hashem's names, okay, so I'll get paid for 998 hours. Not so bad. He doesn't realize, like Rabbi Ami said, that the whole Sefer Torah might conceivably be possible, like we said. But over here, Hocha, Kivin Dukamaxin, Kule Agre, here he knows the parchment has to be tanned, Lashem Kedusha Sefer Torah. And that if not, the whole thing is possible. And there's no way of getting around it by rewriting it or whatever. But Osava Omer, and now he's coming and saying, Ema Kushta Ka Omer, now we have strong reason to say that he's telling the truth. So therefore, so that kind of case, we would actually say we believe him when he knows that he's going to lose. So therefore, applying that before to the case of Taris, Trasisi, and Kamnitmu, you'd have a similar kind of thing. If, for example, you hired the worker, and you tell him to begin with, let's say, if this dough becomes tummy, I'm not paying you. Then if the guy comes and says it's tummy, even la'achra ma'isa, you have reason to believe him. But where he's getting paid regardless, then we're saying that only, like Abaya said, only if it's the yodeh, and like Rava said, only if the first time he saw him, he didn't tell him, then we don't necessarily have to believe him. Nevertheless, even then, a baal nefesh could be machmer on himself if he wants to. In the case of taris, for example, he can't necessarily go and burn them, because if it really is tahor, you can't just go voluntarily and burn it, but he can just set it aside and not eat it, for example. And similarly with the Sefer Torah, he doesn't have to learn from it, for example. He could use it like as a chumash for kids to learn from or whatever. Okay.